Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamis Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamis Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at the Dunamis Center, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm here with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello.
So, Catherine, before we jump into our topic, would you like to let people know how they can contact us?
I would love to.
That would be great.
So on Facebook, search Dunamis Center Ministries, and Dunamis is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. We're also on Twitter. Go to @YourDunamisLife. Please, we would also love to have an email from you. That's dunamislife@dunamiscenter.com. And please contact us by phone as well at 719-231-7183. And real quick, Dunamis again is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S.
So before we go into the topic, I just wanted to share with people that we would love it if you would share our radio shows on your Facebook page. If you listen to one of our shows and you like it, please share it.
Yeah.
And also, I'm meeting with our printer by the time the show airs, I will have met with the printer on the new book. Won't somebody please hear me about healing from the birth trauma?
Exciting.
Yeah. So that'll be ready mid-November is what we're looking at right now if everything stays on track and there's no problems. So look for that on the website. Feel free to call us if you want to get a copy of it, and we can always, you know, take orders over the phone if we need to. You can use your bank card or your credit card online, or you can send in a check. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can obtain the book. If you're in Colorado Springs, call us. You can come by and get one here. We'd be happy to have you stop by. And
then you wouldn't have to pay shipping.
No, they wouldn't. Yeah. So there's a help. But I'm very excited about it, and I'm very excited about how, you know, God can really minister to the hearts of women and men who've been hurt through very difficult birthing and unnecessary
issues. Right. To have that as a resource, I think, is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. It's exciting. And I did work on it quite a bit. And it's just really ready for us to look at. Will it print out in formatting form correctly and things like that? The cover is going in design. And it's just, yeah, I'm excited because we've talked about it for a long time, and I wanted to just let our audience know that it's
going to work in a loving work in progress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we're getting down to the technical and
Yeah. There's always that piece. People think writing looks so much fun. You just sit in front of your computer and you make stuff up. But that if you're doing nonfiction, you got to do research. You have to make sure that you know what you're talking about. You have to. And even with my fiction, people do not realize how hard it is to do the technical side, as you said.
Yeah.
You know, creating something and getting it on paper is nothing for me. But it's the, you know, editing and the formatting and the, you know, cover design. And now I have to write something for the back cover that might actually get people interested in it.
God, you walked you through it.
Yes, he did. And so we're ready to go. And I just wanted to let people know that because I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about the spirit of adoption. Yeah. And, you know, Catherine, this topic came up for me because I deal with a lot of people who have had very difficult times with their mothers and fathers growing up. Obviously, I'm in counseling, that's one of the biggest issues we have to deal with.
Sure, yeah. The parents
and what the damage of the parents is often the issue.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I get somebody in here that says I never had an issue with my mom and dad, ever, of any kind.
Wow.
And then talking, it comes out.
I mean, you're with these people, whoever raised you, whether it's biological parents or an adoptive parent maybe, but you're with these people for theoretically maybe 18 years.
Or more.
So so there would, in that amount of time, you'd think there'd be something that may have happened.
Right. And then there's those who've had huge amounts of abuse and damage. And, you know, those are the people that have the hardest time with the idea that God is our Father. You know, I know when people used to say to me, you know, God's your Father, or they would talk from the pulpit, it would just be like I wanted to just stick my fingers in my ears and just be like, you know, no, I'm not hearing that.
And that was the time frame after your dad left your family?
That was, yes, but after I was born again in my 20s, I, you know, would read scripture about it, and it was a theoretical thing. It wasn't real to me. And, you know, God gives us our earthly mothers and fathers, and they're supposed to set examples of Him in our life.
Right, right. And they're, you know, I think of them being there to help and support and, you know, in every stage of life, you
right.
know, mentor. And,
right.
Yeah.
But we know, again, because this is a fallen world.
Right.
And evil is magnifying with every passing minute. That's, you know, also part of what we know from Scripture. But because God allowed us to have choice, because love without choice is no love at all, that also means He has to tolerate choosing not to do things His way.
Yeah.
And so people ask me all the time, why would He let me have a mother who did this or a father who did that? And other than they had the choice to either do it God's way or their own way or Satan's way, I can't answer that question.
Right.
But the Bible gives us an answer to that life. Does that
right.
make sense?
Well, and you mean if you're fatherless or motherless or
mm-hmm.
in that situation? Yeah.
Yeah. He gives us the answer for our life.
Right.
And we have to make a choice because we're given that same free will.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it took me a very long time to appreciate God as Father. You know, I always joke about the old song that Jesus is just all right with me, you know.
Okay.
And that when I was born again, Jesus was fine. You know, I didn't mind having a relationship with Him. He was all right. And, you know, and I understood the intimacy of the friendship and that, you know, He's there for me and He did all these things for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say God is your Father, I would be like, not liking that idea too much.
Not ready for that.
Not ready for that. And the beauty of it is that I have grown into that adopted child of the Father God.
Mm.
And it's an amazing and wonderful and beautiful relationship. But I completely understand when people are struggling with it.
Right.
And one of the scriptures that really, really spoke to me, gosh, I'm going to have to say almost 30 years ago now.
Okay.
It was Psalm 27:10. But if I back up and I go into verse 9, you know, David is saying to the Lord, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off.
Okay.
Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Okay, and then he follows with what he believes the Lord's response is to that. And at this next verse, verse 10, just started to really flip some things in my thinking.
Yeah.
You know, even as a very young Christian. And it says, if my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Mm.
So it's like, wow. I mean, really, that was the verse that really got me to think differently about God as a Father. Because if we perceive our Heavenly Father within the context and terms of our earthly parents, then we're going to see God as always short. He's going to come up short every single time.
So true. So true.
Even people who had really amazing parents by earthly standards who taught them about the Lord, they have an easier time with the God as Father piece, but there's always like something that they, you know, don't fully connect to.
It's true.
Yeah.
And you're reminding me of the radio show that we did in June for Father's Day where you and me and Sharon, we all talked about our fathers and how different of an
yes.
experience we had.
Yes.
And I would just encourage listeners to go back
right.
and check out that show in our archives and,
right.
you know, to really get a feel for where we each come from on Father's
Day. Yes. And, you know, it's like I work with people all the time who've had really, really horrible fathers. Horrible.
Yeah.
Drug addicts, sexual abusers, beaters, wife beaters, I had one client telling me one time about her mom and dad pulling guns on each other all the time and then screaming, "Do you want me to shoot you in front of her?" You know, and so then she gives her life to Jesus and you say, "Wow, isn't this wonderful? You have a father in heaven." Okay. And it's like, father's not so wonderful, you know?
Yeah, not a good concept yet.
No. And so to try to say that, you know, God wants to adopt you as your father, there's no idea of what that means because father is a very scary thing. So to get too close to a father can be a very frightening thing.
Sure.
And so what we want to do is like look at adoption a little bit of, you know, what God has to say about fathers and the fatherless. Because one of the things that I love about the Lord is how much he does care about the widows, the orphans, the fatherless.
Right. That's a very consistent theme through the whole Bible is caring for, you know, just like you said, caring for the orphans and the widows and those that are, you know, destitute.
Yeah. So, and he cares about them as a father. So it's like, what can we bring to say, hey, this is how God adopts us?
Well, we can start with what I believe is the first adoption in the scriptures.
True.
So the first example I think we see is Moses.
Yes.
He was, this was a time when little boys were being killed because of Pharaoh, the Israelite boys. And so Moses' mother put Moses in a basket, put him in the Nile. And then Pharaoh's daughter goes down to the Nile to bathe, and she finds the basket and opens it, and there's Moses. And in verse 10, it says, when the child grew older, Moses' mother took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, Pharaoh's daughter's son.
Yeah, because his sister Miriam told Pharaoh's daughter, hey, I know a woman who can breastfeed the baby, because at that time it's not like they had the bottle, so they had to find a wet nurse.
Right.
Took him back to his biological mother, who nursed him until he was old enough to not be nursed, and then went back to Pharaoh's daughter as her son.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing I love about his adoption, and we're going to talk a little bit about Esther in the future as well, is when people say to me, yeah, but why couldn't I have just had a mom and dad who were great or whatever? Their adoptions positioned them for God to use them in mighty ways for the benefit of all the people.
And you're talking about Moses and Esther.
Yeah. If they had not been adopted, they would not have been positioned to be used by God that way.
So true.
And so when we accept our adoption in the Lord, even if we have earthly parents, we are being positioned by God in the kingdom
for the work that he has
for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we go to Esther, she was adopted because her parents died.
Mm-hmm.
So her cousin took her in, he was older, and raised her as his daughter. But then because she was adopted and brought into his town, when the king needed a new wife and all the women in the area were being brought in, she wouldn't have been positioned to be brought in if she hadn't have been adopted by Mordecai and brought to that area.
Right.
So it positioned her to save the people of Israel. Moses saved his people from Egypt. Mordecai saved his people from Haman, who wanted all the Jews killed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through their adoption that they got positioned.
Yeah.
So
that's powerful.
It is when we think about it, because I just hear so many times people lamenting not having the right kind of earthly parents, not having parents if they died, or parents who couldn't take care of them, or parents who tried and then did a terrible job, and so they feel parentless as an adult. And then we start looking at these things, and we start realizing that through adoption, we gain position for God.
Yeah.
So when people say, I want to be used by God, then we have to look at, what does our adoption mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
None of us are
except for Jesus, you know, I'm going to use the word biological, but yet it's really spiritual, are real sons of and daughters of God, other than through he provided a way for us to be adopted into the kingdom and into his family. So by that, by virtue of that, what do we do with our adoption?
Well, do we, you mean, do we make the most of it, or do we squander it, or?
Right, or do we push it away, do we deny it, do we get angry at it, you know, because, you know that I've sat in my office and I've shared this, and people just, I say, but God wants to adopt you, and he has through Jesus Christ, and they're like, I don't want that. Why didn't I get a good family when I was a baby or something? Or why was I in foster care and other kids got adopted and I didn't? And it's like, well, what are those kids doing now for the kingdom of God?
Right.
Did their adoption position them or not?
Right. Or did their not being adopted change their position of influence or
right
meaningfulness?
Yeah. And so when you say, but what if you really saw yourself as the adopted child of God? What would that mean? If I really understand that I am adopted by God for a plan and a purpose, and I'm positioned by that adoption, what am I doing with it?
Right. Do I speak, you know, as though I'm in that position or not? Do I act as though I'm in that position or do I not?
Do I focus on the parents who failed me, those who forsook me, as Psalm 27 says, or do I focus on the God who took me?
Yeah.
And the other passage of scripture that used to really, or elements of scripture that used to really speak to me at that time, Catherine, was Jeremiah. There's a couple of times in there where God says, I chose you before you were born. Okay, so he was chosen before he was born. So even if your mother or father did not want you, God chose you.
Right.
You know, and I have struggled with that concept. I mean, I am the youngest of six kids in 6.5 years.
Wow.
I'm not close. Thinking my parents were real thrilled. Actually, I know they weren't. I mean, they've expressed that, you know, my mother has said, you think I wanted to be pregnant again? both my parents have said, if they had believed in abortion, I probably would have been it.
Wow.
You know, at that stage of their life. And so I look at Jeremiah and I'm like, you know, that's my mother and father in some ways forsaking me. Who wants to hear that from their parents too?
Right.
That you're only here because of a law and a belief and not because we wanted you. Okay.
Right.
And then I read Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah says, I chose you before you were born.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me too of even for myself with our youngest child, our little daughter, I was not expecting her either.
Yeah.
And there was one particular point in my pregnancy where I was thinking to myself, or praying, or just talking in my head, and just, I did not choose this, I did not choose this. And I heard very clearly at that moment say, no, but I did.
Yes.
I chose this child. And, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And God has a plan and a purpose for her that's
yes.
going to be just amazing. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's these sort of, I didn't really plan it or want it this way kids that turn out to be the most amazing for the kingdom.
It's true.
You
it's
know?
It's true, yeah.
And so we have to say, will we receive it? Will we accept it? And how is it even possible that this can happen?
For the Father to adopt us, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when we look at Jesus, he's the one who was God's, the Father's son.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the fact that, you know, like if you looked at even your daughter, and I look at my son that I really wanted to be a girl, and God chose him to be a boy for a purpose and a reason.
Right.
Because I have three sons, so that's why. But he's an amazing man, and he will be an amazing man of God as well, now that he's working through some of his issues of
yeah.
being adopted by God and having a plan and a purpose. But he took his son, his only one that we look at, his only begotten son, and he sacrificed his only begotten son that the rest of us could be adopted.
Wow.
I mean, how many of us would be willing to say, if I sacrifice one of my natural born children, came out of my womb, so that all these other people could be saved, how many of us would do it?
I don't think I would make that choice.
I know, I know. And Abraham had to make that choice.
Right.
Just because God said.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, we have a gracious God who said, all I needed to know is that you're willing.
Willing to do it, yeah.
But he actually did it.
Right, yeah.
He let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we now have a doorway, pathway through Jesus, whatever, to enter the throne room of God as a child. He says, Jesus has come to me as a child.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you've reminded me of the exact scripture that tells us about this. It's Ephesians 1, verse 5. Our Father God, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure.
Yes.
And will.
Yes. He's happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not a predestinationist in the sense that everything's determined before I was even born. But I believe, see, God's predestined plan is for us to choose it.
Yeah.
But we still have the freedom to choose not to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have, our free will fits in there. Do we want to be a child of God or not? He's predestined, made a way for it.
So then do we choose it or not?
Or not. Mm-hmm. And so we have to decide, will I be adopted or not? And you know, Catherine, my daughter-in-law was adopted as a baby. And she said to me after they had their first child, my son and her, she said, you know, I thought when I was pregnant that somehow because this person is a part of me, that I would love this child more than the other people in my life, you know, my parents, my siblings, because of the adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I found out that it's not true.
Okay.
That's my family because they took me in.
Mm.
They made me part of their family. And they love me the same as their own child. And I love them the same as my own parents.
Yeah.
And then I have a child and she's a part of me and I love her crazy. Like, but not more so, or not, you know, bigger than. It's just that it's a parent's love versus, you know, being a child who's loved. And I thought that was fascinating because that's the heart of our God.
Yes, I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, when he wants to adopt us, it's not bigger and worth, you know, bigger for somebody else than you or me or anybody. It's the same. And he wants us to love him the same.
Right. And it's just an amazingly genuine, heartfelt, you know, crazy love.
Yeah. And it's big and it's not any different than if we had been his begotten children.
Right.
I mean, you know, he had to send Jesus for that to happen, to make that way. So one of the things I do is I've talked in other shows about, like, what, you know, last week I talked about the mini Sabbath and connecting with Jesus, and I've talked about how to pray and let the Lord be there for you. One of the things sometimes we do is, you know, when people get really connected with Jesus in the mini Sabbath type way, if they have a real fear of the Father, I start having them ask Jesus, you know, what is your Father like?
Okay.
If I went into the throne room, what would he do with me? And let Jesus start to communicate with them about the Father.
Mm.
And then sometimes, you know, it's sort of a visual place for them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go into the throne room? Can you see yourself with God as Father? Sometimes they have to ask Jesus, will you take me? Because they're so afraid. We've been taught that this Father God, we've been taught all about the wrathful side of him.
Mm. Yeah. There's a bit of that, we know, in the Bible.
Right. So if I tell you, go as a little toddler and go in the throne room and jump on his lap, he loves to play with little kids, that's like, I can't get it because I had a drug addict father. I had a father who beat me. I had a father who sexually abused me. So don't tell me fathers aren't mean.
Yeah. So it's interesting, though, that there can be a trust established with Jesus before there's a trust established with the Father God.
Yes, and it's
interesting.
It is a piece of. I've only had one client that was more afraid of Jesus than the Father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, why don't you just stop and talk to him? She kept wanting to run past Jesus. You know, oh. I'm like, no, you need to connect to him because that is where our acceptance is. That is where he's the door. He says, you know, anything through me, he's the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just backdoor the throne room. You have to go through the door, which is Jesus. But then Jesus wants to share the love of the Father with you.
Right.
And it's just so fun when you can get that.
Get both of those pieces.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'm reminded, too, of Romans 9:4. So the people of Israel, it says, theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises.
Yeah. So when we're adopted, we get all the promises.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we want everything God has to give without having to do anything for it. Now, in general, he just, you know, loves us radically.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants all of this for us. But there's that choice. That's that predestined. It's all there for the taking. But there's one thing you have to do. You have to choose that relationship with Jesus Christ. So that you can go through the doorway into the throne room to sit with the Father.
Similar maybe to how your daughter-in-law chose or realized that she chose to love her parents just as much as she chose to love her daughter.
Yes, and she realized that her parents chose to love her.
Right.
Just like God chooses to love us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he chose to love us first. Her parents chose to love her first.
Mm-hmm.
And they took her in, and they loved her, and they made her feel safe and welcome and cared for. And so when we're looking at our Dunamos life, we're mm-hmm. looking at part of that wholeness of it is relationship to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And what does that all mean? Well, we're talking today about the adoption of the Father,
mm-hmm.
which is the beginning of everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Through Jesus,
who then gives us the Holy Spirit.
Exactly, yeah.
To be present with us so that we can live out the life of the child of the Heavenly Father.
Yeah. That's
it's
so
just an
special.
Amazing thing. I mean, I don't know about you, but even just trying to talk about this stuff sometimes, I just feel like my soul is overwhelmed within me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the awe-inspiringness of it.
Yeah, he's, you know, he created the, you know, the heavens and the earth. He put everything in place, and then he put all these people on the planet. And you know, Catherine, sometimes I'm in complete and total awe that he looked down on every human being that has ever existed on planet Earth, and he pointed at me, and he said, her.
Hmm.
He pointed at you. He said, her.
Yeah.
Pointed at Sharon. He said, her. He pointed at your husband. He said, him.
Yep.
And that's where Dunamos came from, really, because we are not here out of like any ego or self, but just if we accept this adoption piece, the spirit of adoption, we can have everything that we need from our Father God to accomplish his plans by accepting where he positions us.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we've all talked about it, that God took us in. We all went through Jesus. We all entered into Father God, and he positioned us all right here.
Yeah.
And if it benefits you, it's worth every minute of that.
Amen.
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 So I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we're going to share with you again next week.